Well, we are in June, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
We are in June. We're halfway through 2013. Well, we're about halfway. When we get to the middle of the month, that's where we'll be, about halfway through, or at the end of the month, actually, I think.
Yeah.
It's hard to figure out, but I know when you hit June, you're about halfway there. Before we get into this message, I would like to pray. Father God, we've had this passage, I've had this passage on my mind for a little while, and this verse about seeking you first and seeking your kingdom first and having everything else secondary. And I pray, Father God, that this message might be a blessing to our hearts, something that will give us a reminder, as we do need reminders along the life's journey. We need to be prodded along sometimes because we get distracted. And I pray, Father God, that we'd help this message would help us to minimize those distractions and keep our focus on where it belongs. And just bless this time now. Bless this message in Jesus' name. Amen. So, halfway through the year. How many had New Year's resolutions, by the way? Anybody? Well, most people give up making them, don't they? Why? Yeah, you can't keep them. They're so hard to keep. Why is it so hard to keep those New Year's resolutions? It's because habits, old habits especially, they're ingrained in us. We get them into our blood almost, like they're hard to break. And the older we are, the harder they are to break. But new habits are also hard to form. But when we do form those kinds of changes in our lives, doesn't it make us feel younger? It does, sort of, doesn't it? When we can make changes in our lives, it makes us feel younger. And another reason these are hard to keep is that everything else has our attention. Why there is New Year's resolutions or any kind of resolve that you make, it's because other things distract us. And that's what a distraction is. It's an attraction to something other than what we know we should be placing our attention upon. And that's what a distraction is. Well, God tells us what is important. God tells us how we can set our priorities, things we know we need to do. And when we are not living by God's priorities, distractions capture us. They capture our attention and they throw us off track. They rob us of the time and energy we should be spending on things that are really important. That's what distractions do. Well, in his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus told us a lot of things that were really important for us to do, how to think, how to live. And I'm just going to read a portion of that as a context for that one verse I shared earlier, verse 6:33. I'm going to be reading from 6:25 to 33. Jesus said, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of much more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his lifespan? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first his kingdom, the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." This last sentence, verse 33, and the one I quoted earlier at the beginning of the service, is a key is a real key in priority setting for the Christian especially, but everybody really should have this. And the first point of this whole thing is seek first the reign of God in your life. Seek first God's reign, the kingdom of God. The ultimate goal in redemption. And you think, well, what is the ultimate goal in redemption? There's a whole bunch of goals, but the ultimate goal is for Jesus to rule as King of the universe. We always think it's about us. It's really not. We're a part of it, but it's about the whole universe. A new heaven and a new earth, and Jesus as King of both. That is the whole point of redemption. But central in that good news, central in the gospel, is that Christ must be King first of human lives. That is his first priority within that big goal. And it says it in Romans 14:6, "For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life so that he might be the Lord of both the living and the dead." Of both the living and the dead. Every Lord of all. Lord of everything. And his lordship in our life, his rulership in our life, must be practical. Not just verbal. Where we say, oh yeah, Jesus is Lord. You know, we say that sometimes. Jesus is Lord. We maybe need to say it more than we do. But Jesus said, "Not everyone who said to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." He's talking about practicing the word of God, not just speaking a kind of allegiance verbally, although we need to do that as well. God's rule in our life, God's reign, his kingdom in our life, it ends the rule of all others. It ends all other kings. It displaces all their kings. All of you probably remember The Wizard of Oz. I'm not talking about the new one that just came out not too long ago. I'm talking about the old one, you know, with Judy Garland and all those, Ray Boland and all those guys that were just really great actors, and I love it. Anyway, Dorothy had melted the witch with some water. Remember that? I'm melting. Remember that? You're destroying my... Oh, what a world. You're destroying my beautiful wickedness.
Yeah.
You know? and you know, the leader of her army, and I don't know what they were called, Winkies, I think they were called in the story. The leader of her army, instead of getting angry, you know what he says? "Hail to Dorothy! The wicked witch is dead!" He's glad to be rid of her. And you know, when Jesus comes into our lives as first place, as king, all these other rulers disappear. They melt, and all their wickedness melts away. You know, there is a doctrine that has been kicked around back and forth among Christians, and it's one of those kinds of where people nitpick in Scripture, and they say, "Well, this is what the Bible teaches." That no, it just teaches it this way. It's called the doctrine of lordship salvation. Terry, are you familiar with that? The doctrine of lordship salvation? Well, somewhat. Here's basically the premise. They say that Jesus is either he's either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. And he's either Lord of all in your life or he's not Lord at all in your life. And I disagree with that. I disagree with that because he's my Lord whether I obey him perfectly as Lord or not. Sometimes I fail. But I will obey him perfectly as long as I follow his directive. And that directive is this. Seek first the kingdom of God, the rulership of God in my life. If I will seek that first and put that on top priority, I have so much better chance of following God. I don't know how many of you used to like Red Skelton. He was sort of slapstick, and he had a lot of puns, and I like puns, you know. But Red Skelton, I really love his movies. And he had a movie, I think it was called, about the Civil War. I think it was called Southern Yankee. Southern Yankee, yeah. That's what I think it was called. I'm not sure. Southern Yankee. But anyway, Red Skelton is trying to get past a battlefield where between the Union and Confederate armies, they're having a battle going on, and he does it by walking right down the middle of them. And what he did, he painted on one side of his coat uniform gray and the other side blue, and he sewed the flags together. And then he was carrying the flag. Everybody stopped, started to salute the flag as he was carrying it on both sides. And all of a sudden, the wind blew or something, he got distracted, and he went, and they sticked up their guns again, and started shooting. You cannot play all fields, okay? It's almost like, a person who tries to, you go be the outfield. Well, which one? Be them all. Be center field, be right field, be left field. You can't play ball that way. You can't do it. It just won't work. You need three players. But the thing is, some people try in the game of life to go everywhere, do everything, have all these different rulers in their lives. And the thing is, in the game of life, many things call for our attention. Many things call for our attention. Good things, too. But we must put first things first. We must put first things first. And that is what this scripture is all about. The second point here is, seek first God's righteousness. Seek God's reign in our lives and seek His righteousness. And that's what the word is right there, His righteousness. And the context explains the meaning of what is His righteousness. Well, Jesus in this context is teaching. He's teaching all kinds of ways of how to live. And because He is talking that way, He's describing what God's righteousness is. It's to live the way that Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount. That is like, you read the sermon and it's not easy. It's not easy. But if you put God's kingdom first and His righteousness, it falls into place. It really works. Now, God's will stands in sharp contrast many times to the worldly concerns that we have. His will, His way, His word, they sometimes stand against how the world thinks, how the world is concerned. Here's what he says in the two verses that come before this verse we're dealing with in 33. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Worrying about these kinds of concerns, these material needs, things that, yes, we really do need them, but worrying about them can't meet them. That never does. Worry doesn't do a bit of good to worry about them. But worry can narrow our focus. It can narrow our focus on those things so that we don't see the bigger picture. And we don't realize that we're not letting God be part of the picture because we're so narrowly focused on these things that focused on this world alone. And God calls us to trust in Him. God calls us to believe that He is our provider, that He is the provider of our physical needs. Everything that we need, He's going to provide. Hasn't He done that until today? Otherwise, you wouldn't be sitting here, right? He's done it all your life, and He'll do that all the way through until it's your time to go. And He is also the source of our spiritual life, and that is why when we focus on that narrow focus, many times we miss the spiritual aspects of our lives. Those are so, so important. In fact, they are a priority. They should be placed first. His kingdom and His righteousness should be placed first. If we focus on worldly cares, sometimes they can lull us into a slumber, into a spiritual slumber. But the light of Christ, the Sermon on the Mount, His lifestyle, and His word to us, follow me, do what I'm doing, follow what I'm saying here. When we look at Christ, when we see His light, it can arouse us from a worldly slumber. When we're just in a stupefaction, we can't even think about straight spiritually, and Christ's light wakes us up. There's a great promise that is about Jesus in Isaiah 60, where it says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and His glory will be seen in you." And it's like, wow, that's where I want to be. I don't want to be in the darkness, in the deep slumber that's over the whole world because they're so focused on worldly things, but focused on God, on the light. And you know what? It makes all those things come together. The glory of the Lord. That's what we're talking about here, the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord is the top priority of the whole universe. The whole universe is focused on that glory. We're the only ones that don't follow that glory very well sometimes. Many things call for our attention, and we give our glory, we give our attention to those aspects of glory within this world and so on, but we must put first things first. First things first. You're going to hear that again and again in this message, but if we put the kingdom of God and His righteousness first in our lives, then everything else will fall into place. It will. That is God, how God built it to be. We do not need to worry. We do not need to have anxiety. God loves us and He cares for us better than we know. Better than we know. And He will make sure that our needs are cared for. And that leads me to the last point. Seek first God's resources. Seek first God's resources. All these things will be added to you. All these things. The main thing is the main thing. The main thing is the main thing. And the main thing remains the main thing, no matter what else is added to it. That's what it says here. All these things will be added to the main thing, the seeking God and seeking His kingdom. And these things will be added to it. You know, TV commercials, many times, they will say, buy this mixer. And if you buy this mixer, we will, in addition to it, we will throw in the vegetable slicer and the dicer and the shredder. You know, but what's the main thing? What's the main purchase? It's the mixer. That's the one that's going to cost you some money. And Jesus calls us to a major transaction. This thing of saying, follow me, become my disciple. When we want to do that, when we say, He's calling me to make a big step in my life, am I going to put Him first? Am I going to put His kingdom first? And that's a major transaction, putting God and God's will first in our lives. When we do that, then we find that in addition to the main thing, then all these other things will happen. We find out that God is our provider. All creation knows this. All creation trusts in God to be the provider. Humans need to do it by a choice. We make a choice to acknowledge Him as our provider. Look at nature. Look at the birds. It says, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his lifespan? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? I hate it when God has to say that to us, O you of little faith, but it's true many times. It's because our focus is wrong. And He's accurately describing us many times. Our faith is not strong because we got our focus on things that are not that important. If we make this major transaction, we will find that God, who is His will first, and His person first in our lives, we will find also, in addition, that God is a promise keeper. God is a promise keeper. Now, you know, there was the movement called the Promise Keeper Movement. Now, the Promise Keeper Movement tried its best to help men to live up to their promises. And many times, men failed to measure up, you know, and it's sad. But God's promises, He promises to take care of us. Those promises are based on His character of faithfulness. Absolute faithfulness. He never fails in His faithfulness to us. He is totally, totally loyal and faithful to be our provider, and He keeps His promises to us. That's why we can listen to Peter when he says in his epistle, cast all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. You can just put all your worries, all your anxieties on Christ. The cares of the world, they can all go on Him. Place them all on Him because He cares for you. He cares for you. Humans busy themselves with many things in life. And God calls us. Jesus is calling us here for us to give our attention not to those things, but to put first things first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. This is God's will for us. And this is our divine calling, and this is the top priority in our lives. No matter what else we're paying attention to, no matter what distractions come our way, this is the top priority. This is the thing on a daily basis we need to seek every single day. Seek God, seek His face, and seek His will, His righteousness in our lives. Francis Ridley Havergale, was a poet and a songwriter. Many of her poems got into songs. And she wrote a poem, and I don't think it was made into a song. It might have been. It's Whose I Am. Whose I Am. I'll just close with this. Jesus, Master, whose I am, purchase thine alone to be. By thy blood, O spotless Lamb, shed so willingly for me, let my heart be all thine own. Let me live to thee alone. Other lords have long held sway. Now thy name alone to bear, thy dear voice alone obey, is my daily, hourly prayer. Whom have I in heaven but thee? Nothing else my joy can be. Jesus, Master, I am thine. Keep me faithful, keep me near. Let thy presence in me shine, all my homeward way to cheer. Jesus, at thy feet I fall. O be thou my all in all. We may have not kept New Year's resolutions. Many times they were trivial, really. Trivial in comparison to these. A resolve to put Jesus first in our lives. He is the King. And put His will, His righteousness, first in our lives. But it's never too late to make new resolutions like that one. Especially when they have to deal with the most important things in our lives. And when we make them in prayer. So let's make that prayer. Father God, thank You so much for the way, Lord, You put Your finger on so many issues in our lives. It is true what Reagan said, President Reagan, that this book, if we would just read it, would solve most of the problems we deal with in life. It's basically because our focus, when it's wrong, we lose our way, and we don't find the right way to handle our problems, handle our situations. Lord, we want to put You first in our lives. We ask, Lord, that our hearts might do that, and we might do it today and every day of our lives until we are called home to be with You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.